Haley Princetonian, I'm Maya Mukherjee. You're listening to Daybreak. Today, we feature an opinion on the state of Black affinity groups at Princeton and cover the recipients of the 2024 Guggenheim Fellowship, Harvard's new standardized testing policy, and elections in South Korea. It's Friday, April 12th. Princeton is home to a diverse range of affinity spaces for students of various backgrounds. Among these are spaces primarily for Black students, such as the Black Student Union, Society for African Internationals at Princeton, and Ethiopian Eritrean Student Association, to name a few. I sat down with opinion contributing columnist Lukman Bamba to understand his opinion on what it means to have so many Black affinity groups and whether they should be consolidated.
My name is Lukman Bamba. I am a contributing columnist at the Prince.
So tell me a little bit about these sort of divisions or subgroups that you observe among Black students and Black student groups at Princeton.
Yeah. So obviously at Princeton, you know, we initially started with the BSU, and then over the years, we've had like 10, 15 Black affinity groups. And what sometimes happens is that there are elements of division. And it's not saying that like, oh, these groups are completely hate each other, but like there are elements where, for example, in a Prince article, one of the student leaders said that it feels as if they're competing with each other. And you have things like not attending certain events because you don't feel comfortable with a specific subgroup within the Black community. And yeah, things like that.
Okay. And do you think that having these subdivisions is serving the Black student community at Princeton? Or what do you think could be done better?
Yeah. No, I think that all these groups need to exist. Like the specialization and like the specific niches that they cater to is very much legitimate and needs to exist. But I think that what this article proposes is that it should exist perhaps in a different form, and that there should be sort of a more singularity to these groups. So it's less sort of fragmented and less chaotic in a way. And this addresses a lot of the problems that has already been talked about. Like this, what I'm saying is really not new. Like there have been calls from students and alumni in the past for, oh, we should come together more. And things like our relationship with Otis, our relationship with admin, our relationship with alumni can all be served better if there's this sort of singular entity and then this sort of greater sort of financial unity, resource sharing between all these different Black groups.
You can read more of this opinion at dailyprincetonian.com or at the link in our show notes. In campus news, yesterday, 7 Princeton faculty members received Guggenheim Fellowships, the largest faculty cohort since 2017. 4 Princeton alums also received the fellowship this year. The award recognizes, quote, exceptional individuals in any field of knowledge and creation in any art form. Faculty recipients' research interests cover a wide range of topics, from the history of 20th century biomedical research, to ecology and conservation, to classical Chinese literature. They are part of a group of 188 scholars, selected from a pool of almost 3,000 applicants. As of yesterday, Harvard University has voted to resume its standardized testing requirement in admissions, requiring applicants for the class of 2029 to submit their test scores. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Harvard trustees made the decision to keep the institution test optional until the class of 2030 was admitted. Dartmouth and Yale have also reactivated their standardized test requirements. Princeton will remain test optional until at least 2025. In international news, on Wednesday, South Korea's liberal opposition parties won the country's parliamentary election, winning 175 of 300 seats. This outcome means that liberal parties will extend their control of parliament and could leave sitting conservative president Yoon Suk-yeol a lame duck for his remaining 3 years in office. Wednesday's election was seen by political analysts as a referendum on Yoon, who has suffered from low ratings for months, after failing to implement his pledges to cut taxes, ease business restrictions, and expand family support. Today, you can expect cloudy skies and light rain, with a high of 64 and a low of 48 degrees Fahrenheit. That's all for Daybreak today. Today's episode was written by Tendekai Moakomatanda, Daniel Jung, and me, sound engineered by Twyla Colburn, and produced under the 148th Managing Board of the Prince. Our theme was composed by Ed Horan, class of 22. For the Daily Princetonian, I'm Maya Mukherjee. Have a great day.